Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. We'll conclude our consideration of this messianic prophecy this morning. Isaiah chapter 11, the first 10 verses is our scripture reading of this this morning. Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. And following the reading of scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Please stand together for the reading of God's holy word. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we've been working our way through this messianic prophecy, we have noticed that in the context of God's righteous judgment on the nations and on his people, they were cut down as a forest is cut down and not anything but stumps were left. And it would cause us to despair, except that out of the stump of Jesse, a root, a shoot will come up and it will bear fruit. Out of very humble circumstances and humiliating circumstances, the Messiah will come and he will bear fruit. And so there's hope, even in the midst of the darkness of that judgment, there's hope in the Messiah that would come. And we're described what he's like. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And as Isaiah 61, he fills it out, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to preach the good news to the poor and to minister to those who are needy. And the Spirit of God equips him for his role of mercy and kindness to those in need and to conduct himself in a godly way. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and of power, of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, to bring people into a relationship with God. That's what his calling is to do. The fear of the Lord is the essence of a relationship with God. And then the characteristic of him as a ruler, he will judge righteously. He will not judge superficially or with what he sees with his eyes, but with righteousness he will judge with the power of his word, and has a belt around himself of righteousness and faithfulness, which is the promise for you, the people of God, that Christ, everything he does toward you is righteous and is faithful. And then describes that beautiful reign of his, the reign of peace, which we already can taste because being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We experience that kingdom of peace even now in our relationship with him. But I want to draw your attention this morning to that 10th verse where it says, and in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. And it's pointing us to the great fruit that will come from this reign of this branch, and in a wonderful and glorious way. And there's three thoughts I want to draw your attention to. The fact that this root is a banner for us, and what does that mean? The second thing is that that banner will gather the nations to him and the glorious fruit of the gospel. And the third thing is that that place, his place of rest, will be glorious. So the first thing we're told here in these phrases is that this root, this humble branch, is going to be a banner for us. Various translations translate it in different ways. Some banner, some one an ensign, another a flag, a signal, a standard. And the idea that perhaps we can get is that the banner is like a flag, representing either a cause or a school or something that we can rally around and in which we find unity. We may have differences of opinion, but we're gathered around this banner and it draws us together, and in that banner and in that cause, in that purpose, we are one. Calvin writes, an ensign is lifted up in the army, so like soldiers going into battle, that the soldiers may assemble and that everyone may follow and keep his proper place. And so the idea is the banner is lifted up to give us purpose, direction, strength, and unity. And this branch, this root from the stump of Jesse, is our banner. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, I want to draw your attention to a couple Old Testament texts that fill that out for us. The first is Exodus chapter 17. So if you would turn there, I want to call your attention to a few verses where a banner is referred to here in this passage. And in Exodus 17, we have the people of Israel, they're wandering through the wilderness, and God is leading them and directing their path, they've been delivered from Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. And suddenly, without warning, apparently, the Amalekites come and attack Israel. And in some way, this parallels your life and mine in this world. You and I are on a wilderness journey to the promised land, ultimately our heavenly home. And in this world, we encounter enemies of various kinds. Well, what is our help in the battle? Well, our help in the battle is our banner. The banner is what strengthens and blesses us and helps us as we go into the battle. And we see that illustrated in this particular passage. As the Amalekites are drawing up to do battle against the Israelites, in verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." That was the staff that he used. It's a marvelous instrument. It was the staff that he used to execute some of the plagues over Egypt, to hold over the Red Sea as it's parted. So he's going to go up on a mountain and he's going to stand with a staff in his hand and he's going to be praying to God as the people are going on into battle. And so what happened in verse 10? So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So here you have the picture. Moses is on the hill. He holds the staff and he holds his arms high. And as he's holding them high, the Israelite army is being victorious. But Moses is a man like you and I, and he gets tired like you and I get tired. And so his arms begin to sag. And when his arms sag, then the Amalekites begin to win. And what happens is then in verse 12, when Moses' hands grew tired, Aaron and Hur, they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Now, at this point, you're wondering, how the what this, I didn't see the word banner in here anywhere. So, what does this have to do with Isaiah 11 and the branch being a banner? Well, exactly this. Look at verse 15. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." The Lord is my banner. There's the word. Same word as Isaiah 11. The Lord is my banner. And then he goes on to say, For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. And here we have a blessed picture of the branch as our banner. In this way, Moses is a man. He could only hold his hands up in prayer for a certain amount of time. But our banner isn't a man. Or he's not a man only. He's the God-man. And Jesus Christ has his hands uplifted in prayer for you and I. As we're going through the wilderness journey, our banner, his arms uplifted in prayer to the Father with the assurance that we will be victorious. You and I in this life may have battles that we appear to be losing, and struggles that seem to get the better hand on us. But all we have to do is look up to our branch, our banner, and our uplifted arms, and we know that we in him will be victorious. We will reach the end in glory because of him. Not because of you and me and how well we fight, and we should fight well. Not you and I because of how we pray, and we should pray well. But it's our help and our hope is in our banner whose hands are lifted up in prayer on our behalf. Well, there's a second reference to the banner, and it's in Numbers 21. So if you would turn to Numbers 21. In Numbers 21, we have a familiar story. Sadly, the people of Israel were complaining against God and they were being disobedient. We have in verse 4, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." That's the manna. "Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. So here we again have a banner that's being lifted up for all the Israelites to look at. And this is, in a sense, a very, very wonderful picture of the gospel and some of the necessities of the gospel. The people were being afflicted and judged and punished by these serpents, these snakes, and they needed a remedy. But they had to admit that they had had been bitten. They had to admit that they needed help. All mankind are corrupt in sin, and there's no way they're going to get help unless they know they need help. Unless they know they need grace. Unless they accept the consequences of their sin. The people of Israel were brought to do that. They accepted the consequences of their own sin. We have sinned against the Lord and against you. We need help. We need deliverance. And the way of help that God provided for them was a way of salvation from death, which was in this snake, this banner that was put on a pole so that everybody could look at it. So God provided the remedy. But for them to get the remedy, they had to look at the banner lifted up. What if there were those Israelites that might think, well, let me just try some anti-venom drugs and see if they'll take care of it. What would happen? They would die. What if they were foolish enough to think, what good is it going to do to look at a bronze serpent? That's kind of a waste of time. What would happen? They would die. What happens to those who say, I can take care of my own problems. I can take care of my own sin. They will die. They will perish in their sin and the iniquity. And the only way that they can find that deliverance and that salvation is to look to the banner that's lifted up. And we know what this means. We don't have any doubt about what it means, because Jesus Christ told us exactly what this means. And so if you would turn to John chapter 3, discussion with Nicodemus. And everybody remembers John 3:16. You all can quote it very readily. But the verses that come before that are extremely important as well, because Jesus tells us what's going on in Numbers 21, or at least the parallel, the fulfillment. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. See, Jesus Christ is that banner that's lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness, so that those who look to him might have eternal life. It's great to be delivered from the venom of snakes, but it's far better to be delivered from eternal death. And of course, the whole imagery of the serpent as connecting us to the serpent Satan and the venom that he encouraged among mankind, and our disobedience and our sin is all found, the remedy is all found, taken care of, or the answer to that in Christ, who is the banner lifted up. And I turn also in John here to John chapter 12, where Jesus makes another statement that relates to his being lifted up. And in John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus makes the comment, he knows the end is near. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. There's the serpent. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Now the serpent is going to be finally dealt with, so that when I am lifted up, then I will draw men to me. And his lifting up was going to be, as John adds, it was the way he was going to die, being lifted up on the cross. He's the banner. The cross is our banner. The cross is that which is lifted up so that if we look at it and focus our attention on the one who was hung there, the remedy for our sin, for the venom that is coursing within our veins, the venom of sin, will be dealt with. Christ is that root. He is that branch. He is that banner. And Paul gives us the ultimate combination of it. You don't need to turn there necessarily, but in Philippians chapter 2, remember, after highlighting Jesus' humility, the little shoot of the branch being born, and he suffers humiliation unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those in heaven, the angels, of those on earth, all men, of those under the earth, every demon will bow the knee to him and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The banner is lifted up and ultimately glorified. So when Isaiah is writing about that branch who is the banner, he's writing about Christ. That he is the one that is lifted up, that we might find in him forgiveness of sin, peace of heart, comfort and strength. It's what unifies us as a church. Here we are, a gathering of a bunch of different people, different backgrounds, different walks of life, different opinions, different personalities. What is it that draws us together and makes us love one another and know that we're absolutely one? It's our banner that does that. It's he that draws us together. He's our focal point. And we hold that banner up through the preaching of the gospel. And it's through that banner that God draws all men to himself. So back in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, we have that second element. Christ is the banner. Our great high priest lifted up, paying the penalty for our sin. And one of the wonderful results of that banner being lifted up is that he will call all nations to himself. The way Isaiah puts it there in Isaiah chapter 11. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him. That banner being lifted up, the gospel being lifted up, will draw all men to him, or draw nations to him, men from every language, people, nation, and tongue. Isaiah chapter 2 already talked about how the heavenly Zion will be all nations going up to worship the Lord. And here we have that same idea repeated, that it's Christ being lifted up that draws people to the Lord, to the fear of God, to the relationship with God. And part of what's interesting in John chapter 12, and we didn't read it, but just before Jesus explains that he's the banner being lifted up to draw men to himself, just before that, the Gentiles sought an audience with Jesus. And Jesus saw that as a sign that the end was coming, that he would be drawing not only Jew, but also Gentile to himself. And our hope for the church and for the progress of the church, both locally and worldwide, is in that banner, is in Christ. 2015 lays before us, and we as a church, as individuals, we want to reach out. We want to gather more of God's children to come and be a part with us, to share in the worship of our God. And it's helpful to be creative in how we can do that. And we all need to be thoughtful and think about that. How can we creatively connect with people and interact with their needs and make the work of the church known and all of that. But in all of our creativity and all of our thinking about that and all our desire for that, the one thing we must never, ever, ever forget is that we have to lift the banner up as the center point. Because we could gather tons and tons of people through little creative gimmicks. But if they're not rallying to the banner, if they're not rallying to Christ, then it will be fruitless. Then it won't be the fruit that Isaiah was talking about. There's one notable mega church that was, as some people, the cult of personality, that is closing, I think this week, because it was all centered around a charismatic preacher. Now the church is no more. If we forget or neglect to keep the banner central focus, then that will be the history written over us. We have to keep him central place in our hearts and our lives and in our church. And it's a glorious future for the church. We see it persecuted throughout the world, but there's a glorious future for the church as we hold the banner high. The third thing that Isaiah talks about, this banner, this root of Jesse, he's our banner, he rallies the nations, and his place of rest will be glorious. If there's anything we experience in this world, it's a restlessness. For a lot of different reasons. But, you know, as we've prayed for people who have lost loved ones, both in recent weeks and over the last year and in recent years, and we know it's a time when that gap, that vacancy is so particularly felt, when families gather, when we go about our labors from day to day, week to week, month to month, and sometimes there's enjoyment, sometimes there's not. There's a sense of dissatisfaction at times in our lives. There's a restlessness. Certainly in the sinful world, there's restlessness for sure. And one of the encouragements that you and I have is of our root, our branch, is that his place of rest will be glorious. Now, ultimately, that's pointing ahead to the new heavens and the new earth, when we will rest completely and gloriously with him forever. But in time, God has given pointers to that rest. He gave the Garden of Eden. He gave the promised land. He gave the tabernacle. He gave the temple. And God has a reminder, even now, that your rest in him is glorious. Where's his place of rest right now? Well, beloved, it's you. In Ephesians 2, in the context of bringing Jew and Gentile together in one body in Christ, it says, in him, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You see, beloved, the gathering of the church, the body of the church, is the place where God is building his temple in which he dwells by his Spirit. Now, we know he dwells in you individually, And you have the witness of the Spirit in your own and individual heart. But do you see the gathering of God? People in the presence of God for the worship of God is a place of rest. It's here where you need to be reminded that God is on the throne, not the wicked out there. It's here that you need to be reminded that death and disease are a terrible thing, but here is the God who gives ultimate healing from that. Here's where you need to be reminded that there's often futility in some of the things we pursue outside, but in here there is complete hope, complete fulfillment, complete strength, and complete peace. Beloved, I lift up before you the root, the branch, the shoot from the stump of Jesse. Beloved, he is for you your banner. That which you can fix your eyes on and be full of purpose, direction, and hope. He is the one that is drawing people to him. He's what drew you to the Lord. And he is that one that is building a place of rest for you that is glorious. May you keep your eyes on the branch, the root from the shoot of Jesse, and find in him your strength, your hope, and your peace. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the revelation of your glorious truth in your word. How often and easily we get distracted when we're busy about the day-to-day affairs of life. Thank you for giving us the opportunity on a Lord's Day to be gathered in your name and reflect for a few moments at least on the wonderful truth of our Savior Jesus Christ, that it's he that puts our lives together. It's he that gives us enrichment and renewed hope. May the view of him strengthen us as we embark on our wilderness journey in the coming week, to know that in him we will be victorious, in him we will find rest, and that rest will be glorious. May you, O Lord, be glorified through us in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Following the benediction, we'll sing together the doxology, which is 731, if you need to turn there. Please stand together for the benediction. Dearly beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.